Welcome to the Modern Woodworkers Association, a podcast about woodworking from folk who woodwork. Woodworking is what we do, who we are, and what we like to talk about. So join us as we have a drink, sit around, and talk woodworking.
Hello, and welcome to episode 141. This is part two of our Handworks 2017 special. We want to thank Jeremy Wright for going to Handworks and grabbing all these wonderful recordings for us. We hope you enjoy the five, and sometimes and often, six questions with the attendees of Handworks 2017.
And this time I'm with
Carl Voss, editor of American Period Furniture.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to ask the normal five questions, and we'll see where it goes from there. So the first question is, how did you get into woodworking?
My grandfather owned a millwork shop. My dad worked there until World War II, and so it was just part of the family tradition doing woodwork. Couldn't avoid it. Wouldn't have wanted to, actually. Right. So,
okay. That sounds like quite a story, quite a legacy. How about this one? What's your favorite tool?
Well, probably the one I used last, and I used my saw stop table saw over the last week. So that was the last tool I used. So
all right, so we won't.
As long as they're sharp, there it's a favorite tool. So
All right. How about this question? Who has influenced you the most in your woodworking?
Oh well, so in a previous life, I was managing editor for Wood Magazine, and gosh, you know, you just get to work with so many different great people. But you know, I suppose it was my grandfather getting me started on some piddling around projects in his shop. So, and I remember he trying to learn how to sand wood, and his shop employee said, well, sand till the sweat runs up your arm. And I was so young, I didn't know any better. And I kept sanding and never did run up my arm. But anyway, they got a kick out of it. So,
okay. All right. The next question is, what was a big stumbling block that you've encountered, and could it have been avoided, you think?
Well, you know, I started out really learning more about power tools, and so if I had it to do over again, I would have learned more about hand tools. I think that makes you a better woodworker, and then use power tools as appropriate.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. And then the last question on the five is, how has the internet influenced your work?
Oh, it is so interesting how to grab information about, like, if you knew a technique and I've forgotten how to use that tool or how to do a technique, you can find YouTube pieces that really makes it easy to brush up on your skills. Now, that's sort of the downside of the printed word, which I'm involved in. Magazines and newspapers, anything dead tree journalism is not doing great right now. But you know what? They actually complement each other, I think. The printed word and the internet or website. So.
Yeah, they do. There's a lot that gets missed from, I think, videos sometimes.
Yes, you're right.
You can reflect back on the exact same words and it just,
right.
Or it can explain it in a way that is moving or is informative.
They really complement each other.
Yeah,
so it's great to have both. So.
Yep, absolutely. So another question I've been asking everybody today has been, it's kind of a two-part question. It's, what's your jam? So whether it's you're working in the shop and there's some sort of music going on or you know, what are you listening to in your shop? As well as what is the groove when you're doing something, whether it's a style, a process, or a, you know, maybe a specific you know, maker that you're just trying to emulate, or something where you're in the shop and you just feel like this really is when I'm at that pinnacle of excitement and of what it is to be a woodworker.
I think, I don't listen to any music in the shop, so it's kind of nice to get away from noise. And so then you only have the noise of the power tools. When you finally get the finish on and it just is so smooth, and then you can't resist walking back and touching it again.
Kind of
like, oh my gosh, I just touched it a half an hour ago, but it just, It feels good. Yeah. Yeah. And it's smooth. It smells great. It's, you can't get it from IKEA, uh-huh. A KD a knockdown right. cabinet. So, you know, it's you. So.
Okay. All right. So, one last thing, I guess, or maybe a couple more things, but, you know, what have you enjoyed or taken away from the Handworks event?
It is such a pleasure to see this place packed. Mm-hmm. I enjoy seeing women that are here that, for example, Mary May is probably at the top of the field in terms of carving. So it's nice to know that it's just not a male. Well, it's still male dominated, but it's not male exclusively.
That's true. I'm seeing a lot of diversity even from the last couple of Handworks, an increased amount of diversity within the attendees.
Isn't it interesting also that when you talk to people that are electrical engineers, it's the handwork that fuels them in the after hours. So.
Right. That's what they find satisfying is the manual tasks. Yeah. It's interesting. So one last question, I guess, is can you tell us how we could find out more about you and the work you're doing?
Well, the Society of American Period Furniture Makers. We were looking for a longer title, but we just couldn't find one. But SAPFM.org.
Okay.
You can learn, if it's in Colonial Williamsburg, it's the period of pieces that our members like. So.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right. All right, I'm still in the Greenwood Barn, and this time I'm talking with
Claire Minahan.
That's right. No, I knew your name. I wanted you to introduce yourself. although I have had to think like, oh, that's not, what's her name? It's Amateur Hour. Yeah. Right. No, wait. No, it's Claire. Okay.
You can just call me. Here.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, Claire, can you introduce what you're here at Handworks doing and, kind of what's your business, whatnot?
Sure. Yeah. I'm here kind of just showing folks how to use travishers. Primarily, that's a tool I've been making for the past 5 years. So, just introducing it to folks who don't know what it is and selling some wares.
And what is it?
So a travisher is the finished tool used when shaping out chair seats. It's the tool that defines all the sharp, the finite lines, kind of the detail lines, and smooths everything out, eases the transitions from the back of the seat to the front.
All right, that's a good explanation. So the first question I'm going to ask you is, I'm trying to get my questions up here, first of all, how do you like Handworks? What do you think of it so far?
Handworks is great. All the exhibitors here are awesome, and the folks who come here, I think everyone's kind of happy that it's every 2 years because just getting ready for the show, everybody's just working so hard that it's a good thing it's every 2 years because I don't think we could handle doing it every year. But folks, they save up for it. They look forward to it those every 2 years. And I think it's worth it. Yeah, coming out for sure.
And I just have to say, even though it's been cold and rainy, Claire is just,
she looks fabulous. You didn't see me yesterday. I was wrapped up in a child's blanket, like three hoodies, and then random people gave me oversized gloves and neck warmers.
Now, this is audio, so you could just say, you were here in an evening gown and all elegant.
Yeah,
and
no, I came in my, my usual ball gown. Yeah.
All right. So the first question in the Modern Woodworker 5 questions is, how did you get into woodworking or toolmaking in both of them?
So woodworking in general was high school shop.
So the high school you went to had a shop?
Yeah, it had a shop class, and I did not want to take it. I got put in there as like a default for an elective, and I skipped actually the first 2 days. But my teacher was so awesome that he was like, just try it out. So I was like, all right. And I got into it and he showed me some really cool things. And I took on to take it my senior year and then went on to go to trade school after high school.
All right. And then how did you get into Travishers?
So when I was at trade school, I met Pete Galbert, who is a Windsor chairmaker. And we became buds. And then when he moved to Massachusetts, I had been working at a cabinet shop for 3 years and I was getting over it. And he was like, you know, if you want to come on and I can teach you how to make Travishers, and you can help fill orders over the summer while you look for a new job. And the orders kept coming. So then eventually I took on the business of my own. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the second question is, what's your favorite tool? I mean, of course, obviously the Travisher is your favorite tool. But is there a tool that you enjoy using while you make Travishers or something along those lines? What's your favorite tool?
Yeah, sure. Well, my favorite tool to use is I use a spoke shave to shape my Travishers. I love the Miller's Fall cigar shave with that tight radius. Yeah, it's impossible to sharpen. But actually, Caleb has been making his small jewel shaves, which I think are the kind of the newer version of the cigar shaves. Yeah, like the little scraper shave. And then also, well, depending on the woods. So if I'm working on it with a really tough wood, then I love a rasp. Yeah.
Yeah. So you do make a lot of unusual woods or kind of exotic woods. So what are some of the woods you've worked with?
So recently I've been working with a lot of Australian woods. And then if you want to come around and work that way, you won't be fighting the rain. So I've been using a lot of Australian woods. So
because you went to Australia.
Yeah. Rin Gidgee. So that wood is kind of like lignin. It's extremely hard and dense. Like they used to make bearings on trains out of Gidgee. So that's extremely hard and dense. Yeah, this, that kind of really highly figured one, that's satin boxwood. Recently I brought over a wood called supplejack and a wood called hooked needlewood. And those are pretty interesting. I don't have too many blanks of those, but primarily it's Gidgee, Mulga, Satin Boxwood are my favorites from Australia. And then Conrad a couple years ago was nice enough to give me a couple blanks of lignin, and that was wonderful to work with. Yeah.
All right. So the next question is, who has influenced you the most?
Probably Pete. Pete Galbert. I mean,
if you tell him, he'll get a big head.
Yeah, no, don't tell him. Don't tell him. If you ask him, he had nothing to do with this. But yeah, it'd be Pete.
All right, yeah. How about the next question is going to be, what was a big stumbling block that you ran into and then could have been avoided?
Nothing. I do everything right the first time.
Wow.
No. Nothing that comes to mind. I mean, big stumbling block, I don't think it's a stumbling block. I think it's just kind of everyone who's starting out a business, I don't think they stumble. I think people just have to work really hard in the beginning when starting your own business. And it's hard all around. You need to invest a lot of time and you just need to learn to get by on really little in the beginning. But then I think if you just stick with it, it pays off. So I wouldn't necessarily call it a stumbling block, just as just something you really got to, yeah, just something you need to push through. Yeah.
All right. And then the last official question is, how has the internet influenced your work?
Not at all. You never use the internet.
I don't use the internet. Well, first, I think I should get a web. I'd love to use it properly. It'd be nice to, I mean, email. Like, email is great because that's primarily how I take my orders. I should get a website. I think my main source is Instagram, and that has just got me in touch with so many people from all over the world. Like,
Is that how you met Rendell?
Glenn I met through Pete. But it's a great way to keep in touch and see what other people are doing. But for instance, when I went over to Australia, it was great being able to advertise that way through Instagram and people see that that way. So Instagram has been great, and I need to be more active on it. It's just a little bit difficult to kind of keep up with everyday things. But as far as seeing, like, culturally, I think across the globe, I think it's something really amazing that is enjoyable. And, like, for instance, these guys from Norway, like, I was like, I've seen that tool before. And I had no idea that. So my travishers are extremely delicate and I fuss and I'm like, ugh.
Very fine, very pretty. Yeah.
And then their tools, like their blades sticking out an inch. And, but the shaving is the same, you know? And it's just cool to see that type of things. But it was awesome to have them like right there so I can just like use their tools. But that's, yeah, so that was something fun to look forward to, yeah.
That's interesting. So I have one more question I've been asking everybody that's not on the official questions, but it's a two-part question. It's what's your jam? So in your workshop, you know, either what's, you know, it's a two-part question. What are you listening to in the workshop? As well as the second part, like, what's the part of woodworking where you're like, this is it. This is what I'm in it for. This is what I enjoy.
Oh, Like my favorite tunes. Okay. So tunes. Oh gosh, right. It's like funk and disco, like Earth, Wind and Fire, like the Gap Band. That's my jam. Podcast Two Dope Queens. And then what keeps me in it? Oh gosh. I think when I get to like have my tool, like the blade assembled, I'll have like buffed the sole and it's time to test cut my tools. And then that I just get to take shavings for as long as I want. So when I get to that point, it's really satisfying. And I also enjoy sharpening tools because that's something that I just zone out on and I'm like, all right, let's just go. Yeah, it's kind of zen for me, so
I can contest to the wispy shavings from a travisher. Like, it's just, you can see at her booth, you know, just as it starts out as a block of wood and then it just slowly gets whispered down by every single person that comes by, and it's highly addictive. So Claire, one last little bit, can you tell us where we can find you, either both a website, Instagram, whatever?
Oh, I don't have a website. If anyone's listening who's good with websites, feel free to contact me at my email, which is cminahanwoodworking@gmail.com. My Instagram name is Amateur Hour What. That's because I'm an amateur hour when it comes to photography. And I have a blog. It's cminahanwoodworks.com. .blogspot.com, but you can just Google Claire Minahan Travishers and it'll come to my page, and there's a whopping 2 whole entries, so if you have a whole day to yourself, you can just dive into those 2 blog entries.
I will confirm that Claire is, even though she says she's an amateur, on Instagram she's quite fun to watch, and you hopefully from this interview you gather she's a hoot to be around. So thanks Claire, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Now I am standing outside of the blacksmith shop, I believe, or one of these shops right now, and I'm talking with, who am I talking with today?
Eric Key.
All right, Eric. So you are a follower of the Modern Woodworkers Association, so I know you know the format, that there is 5 questions that they ask everybody, and so I'm going to ask those along with a couple extras at the end. And so I'm going to start with the first question is, how did you get into woodworking?
I actually started at a lumber yard right out of high school. I had an option to leave school half a day and go to work. And so I did. And there was a guy, an old guy there. He was a retired high school shop teacher that was working in the custom department. And I begged to go over there, and he's the one that got me started in.
That's cool. About how long ago was that, you think?
Oh, that was roughly 23 years ago.
Okay. So you're a little old like me. All right. So the next question that you're probably familiar with is, what's your favorite tool? And there's a lot of options here, or, you know, you can also say powered stuff if you're here. We won't hold that against you.
My favorite tool at the moment is a router plane. Okay. Thing's awesome. You can do super precision work with it, more than any power tool ever could. And maybe that's just because that's the one that's been in my hands for the last week. So,
is it which model is that? Is that the Lee Nielsen one or the Walkmore one?
I'm working on old school Stanley 71. Right, that's what I got. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So then the third question. Let me get to there. Now that I blanked my screen. Who has influenced you the most?
Oh, man. The most. That's a rough question. So I think from a thought process, Chris Schwartz probably has been the biggest influence since I switched to doing hand tool woodworking. Another big influencer, I live 15 minutes from Mark Adams School of Woodworking.
Oh, okay.
So I take classes there, and that's been a big influence, all the guys there.
That's great. Okay. Let me open this again. Okay. So the next question is, what was your biggest stumbling block, and could it have been avoided?
My biggest stumbling block.
We can skip that one if you want to come back. Okay, think about that. Let that ruminate a little bit. The next one is, how has the internet influenced your work?
Oh, man, I think it's a catalyst for accountability. You get on Instagram and you see everybody else building and everybody's asking you, what do you got going on? What are you doing? And
that's
I think that
you started 6 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it really makes you want to get out and do some stuff. And I think that the social aspect of it is really big. Not only just pushing you to get out there and do it, but also learning from your peers. So I see guys doing stuff that because they're not afraid to try it, I'm not afraid to try it. And I see guys bomb and they fell on it, and that's okay to bomb and fell on it. So the social media, the internet, all of that has been huge.
All right. That's a good answer. So we'll go back to that one about your stumbling block. Do you think there's been something, I mean, a lot of people have said, like, you know, thinking they had to have too many tools before they got started, or, you know, just something that kind of was an obstacle in their way before they got going or whatever.
Yeah. I think here recently, my biggest stumbling block is I realized I just started doing my first project out of a magazine. So it was the recent issue of Popular Woodworking. And I was walking back from the mailbox with this thing in my hand. I was like, I need to build this. I've been subscribing to all these magazines for years. Never built anything. And I think my biggest stumbling block was thinking that I had to design everything on my own. But it put me in a rut. And so I wasn't really learning anything new. But by stepping out of that and doing that, the project in the magazine, I'm learning some new tricks that I wouldn't have learned any other way. So that one's been pretty good.
All right. That's good. So the I go off script here for a little bit with my question. My question is, it's a two-part question. It's, what's your jam? So it's two parts. So, like, what's your jam? What's the music that's playing in your shop or the podcast you're listening to, whatever? But then also, like, what's the thing you're doing in your shop, whether it's a style of furniture or whatever, just something that interests you. And when you're in that groove, you're like, this is what it's about.
Yeah. So my music right now, I come across, Steve Martin and Edie Brickell, okay. Put out a record. I'm not much into banjo stuff, but that's a pretty cool album. And so I've been checking that out. When I'm really needing to get pumped, it's all Metallica, you know. And then as far as building stuff, the project that I'm working on is that modern lounge chair by Caleb James.
Oh, that's a great one.
I don't know anything about modern furniture. And so it's opening up another one of those, you know, it's a rabbit hole. I'm going to try to do the paper cord and all that stuff. So I've never done any of it before. It might look like crap, but who knows. Yeah, so, but it's also got me researching other modern furniture and makers and previous designers and stuff like that. And so it's another learning curve for me.
Okay. All right, that's great. All right, so just one last question, just kind of like, can you tell everybody where to find you or what's your handle, wherever you're at, and that sort of thing?
Sure, I'm at eric.key on Instagram.
And then Eric with a C.
Eric with a C. Right. Yeah, and then key is just like your car key, K-E-Y.
All right.
So you can find me there, and I love following everybody, love commenting, being stupid, you know, so those kinds of things. But that's where I'm at. Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Back out at the Greenwood Barn at Handworks 2017, and this time I am with
George Sawyer.
Okay, and George Sawyer, what is the company you're working with, or what are you promoting here as a Handworks?
Name of the company is Sawyer Made, Fine Windsor Chairs. It's a company my father started back in the 80s, and build Windsor chairs.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So then, I guess maybe this leads into the first question. How did you get into woodworking?
From my father, of course, and grew up in the wood shop making spindles for him when I was a kid, and, built my first chair and 2002, I guess.
Okay.
Tried to get away from it, but couldn't.
Yeah, those family businesses pull you back in sometimes. So what's your favorite tool?
I'm pretty partial to the draw knife, just for its versatility and ease of use. But, takes enough skill that it's fun to learn and good for carving seats and making spindles and all sorts of good stuff.
All right. So the third question on the official list here is, who has influenced you the most?
Gonna have to go with my dad again. he was a mechanical engineer with just a good eye for proportion, and his designs are pretty timeless, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. I know this is a podcast, so it's not great video here, but the lines here are really nice, very thin, delicate, but it's just a really, really good flow on all the chairs I see here. It's really good. You should definitely check them out. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, that was...
let's see. Get back to the... There we go. All right. So then another question here is, what was your biggest stumbling block, and could it have been avoided?
Biggest stumbling block.
Or a major stumbling block.
Yeah, I'm selling. I can make all chairs all day, but if I can't sell them, there's not much point. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in. But so marketing.
Okay.
Marketing's hard. And should have gone to business school, I guess, instead of art school.
I think once people see your stuff, it'll sell itself. So how has the internet influenced your work?
Big time. Been doing a lot more teaching than we used to. And Instagram has been huge for that. Just try and post something interesting every day and get more followers and get more students. And it's fun. Yeah. I get to meet people face to face, especially at this show. I've met a lot of folks who follow me.
What's been your perspective of? Is this your first hand works?
Yeah, this is my first time out here.
What's been your perspective of the event here?
Cold and rainy.
Yeah, where did you sleep last night?
Right here, actually.
Oh, no.
I slept in the barn. It was dry, but it's been great. It's not often you get this many like-minded people in one place. Just to have all the tool makers and makers and just everybody here under one in one place, it's amazing. Worth the drive.
Okay, one more question I've been adding on to the five that the podcast normally covers is it's kind of a two-part question. What's your jam? So when you're in the shop working, is there a specific music or podcast, whatever, that you listen to, radio? And then also, like, what's the activity in the woodworking process or a style that is just like you just feel like you can self-identify with, or you can... when you're in that moment, that's when it's all, everything's sitting on all cylinders.
On the shape horse, I mean, especially making spindles, when you're doing something that repetitive music is great.
Okay.
And you get into kind of a zen state. You get kind of in a flow and you're not thinking about what you're doing. You're just doing it. And, so I guess that's my jam. I don't know. Just doing something enough that it's,
come second nature.
Yeah, your brain is just kind of doing its own thing, and your hands are doing their thing, and repetitive music helps with that. Not boring, but
it's flowing. Yeah,
yeah,
I get that. I totally get that.
It's good.
Okay, so then I guess one last question would just be like, how can people find you or get to know more about you, where's the locations online or wherever to find you?
SawyerMade.com is the website, which is rarely updated, and Instagram, Sawyer_made.
Okay.
Is the name there.
All right, it's nice talking with you, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the show and sell a bunch of stuff.
I wish.
I am back outside the blacksmith barn, and I am with the Bowers, and that is...
Jenny Bower.
Nathan Bower.
Okay. And they both have two kind of interesting businesses. I've seen, if you've seen them on Instagram. Ginny, what do you do?
I'm a hand engraver, and I specialize in engraving metal.
Okay. And
I'm a clockmaker. I practice traditional form of clockmaking.
Okay. All All right. So, in to ask the first question of the five questions we normally get into is, how did you get into woodworking and or, you know, the ancillary feeds that fields that you guys are involved in?
I've only recently started in woodworking. I'm kind of just experimenting, doing wood turning and some other just basic woodcraft skills. As far as engraving, I started that about 9 years ago. I'm self-taught and just was interested in it and picked it up and practiced and just kept going. And now I work at it part-time to full-time.
How about you? With clocks, I started with the repairs, taking them apart, and started at a local jewelry store. And then from there kind of branched off and started creating my own timepieces about 10 years ago.
So how did you even get into a repair shop? I mean, is that just like something you were interested in and there happened? You know, you knew somebody in town, or what happened there?
Yeah, well, there was a jewelry shop in town that did clock repair. They were downtown for about 130, 140 years, so they were well-established. And I already was quite well at, quite familiar with taking apart clocks and working on mechanical things. So, you know, I approached them, and they were very interested and took me on immediately.
All right, so the second question is, what's your favorite tool?
Oh, for me, it's going to be the lathe all the way. I mean, that's the most versatile tool in my shop. I couldn't do anything without it. So
is that a traditional powered lathe? Is it like manual? I mean, I don't know. I recently went to a tool museum in France. And they had a lot of 18th century, like, orological, I guess that's the right word, tools. And it was a lot of, I was surprised how small a lot of the pieces were, but it was like almost like a hand-turned lathe for some of that work.
I collect old horological tools just for my personal collection for enjoyment. But, no, I have a number of powered metal lathes that I use daily for my practice.
Okay. All right. And how about you, Jenny?
Well, every day I use gravers, so that's my most practical tool. But I really am interested in vintage and antique tools. So I really like old dividers and tools that are made by hand, blacksmith tools. One of my favorite modern tool makers is Seth Gould. I really like his saws and hammers. I mean, they just feel good, and they're so artistic. Oh, it's unreal.
Yeah. Okay. Who has been the influences in your work the most, you think?
As far as engraving goes, I actually don't monitor a lot of other engravers. I like to kind of keep my work based on my own artistic feel. But as far as getting into other areas of handcraft, I'm really influenced a lot by different woodworkers on Instagram. A lot of them have been encouraging to me, sending me wood to practice wood turning, sending me tools to practice with. So even though I'm a complete novice, it's been kind of exciting following other people's journeys. A good friend that I've made is Anne from Anne of All Trades. She just has a great attitude and a great spirit, so she has really inspired me to want to get more into working with hand tools.
For me, you know, Instagram also is a great source of inspiration for a lot of independent clock and watchmakers. You know, I really draw a lot of inspiration from George Daniels, who he's an independent watchmaker himself who really brought the tradition back into the limelight. He passed away recently, but yeah, he's been a huge inspiration.
All right. Another question is: what is a major or biggest stumbling block or obstacle that you faced along the way in your craft, and how could you have avoided it or made through it?
That's deep.
That's a deep question.
It's not my question. But still.
Well, something I tell people a lot that want to get started, and it probably could apply to any field, but for engraving, when I started, I was just terrible at it. I had no feel for the tools. I didn't know how to sharpen them. And the person who I kind of asked for advice said, start cutting straight lines, start cutting circles. So starting at the basics. And my lines were wavy, my circles were wavy, and it was frustrating to me. But over time, I just kept practicing. And just when I saw that first line that was straight or that first circle that actually came together and looked like a circle was amazing to me. And so it really taught me going forward and trying new things. It's okay to just start at the base and admit, I am not good at this, but maybe just keep being persistent if you have a drive to do it. And for me, that has really paid off.
Yeah. For me, really, I have a lot of experience repairing and taking apart clocks, but I have no formal education as far as machining goes. So I'm very self-taught, and it's school of hard knocks for me the whole way when it comes to learning the proper way to machine metal. And that's still a struggle for me. You know, I'm still learning daily.
All right. The final official script question here is, how has the internet influenced your work?
I think it's just gotten me more excited about combining my engraving on a new medium. I was doing almost strictly jewelry before I got on Instagram, and I started engraving tools and working with other craftsmen engraving markers and plaques for their work. So that has stretched me not only in my own style, but also what I'm engraving on, and collaborating with other artists, which has been fantastic for me. So it has been a very positive influence in my work.
Well, for me, you know, the internet has been a great source of research, really, for developing my own craft, but also the history behind the horology and the timepieces that I'm repairing in my day-to-day work.
So that's the end of the official five questions, but the one question I've been adding to everybody, I've been asking them going off in different directions, but it's kind of a two-part question is, what's your jam? So in your shop, you know, what's the music that's playing, or what's the sounds of your shop? What's going on there? And then the second half of that is like, what's the part of the craft that is like, that's when you're in the groove and that's your thing, and you know, that keeps you coming back.
Well, mine go hand in hand because I like to work at night when there's no interruptions and I don't have customers coming in, so I can play whatever music I want. So I usually play like Huey Lewis or Billy Joel pretty loud while I'm working and just, you know, get excited to get to work. And then I just kind of get in the groove and find the flow. And before I know it, 3 hours have gone by and it just feels like it was a good night.
Yeah, I also, you know, enjoy working at night when there's very few interruptions. Really, I can spend a lot of time at my bench, you know, sawing away little brass parts. As far as music goes, boy, bluegrass, it's hard to beat that. That gets me up and going real quick.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the end of my official questions. I just like to get both of your guys' opinion of the Handworks event. You know, what's really stood out? Is this your first time here and that sort of thing?
Yes, it's our anniversary. So we decided to come this weekend on a little anniversary trip. And it has been so much fun. I feel like we have made a lot of good friends. It's been really inspiring. Just anytime I talk to other people about their craft, even if it's different from mine, I'm always excited to go home and do my thing. It just gets me excited to go home and make things. And also to be involved in some of the demonstrations here, going around and testing tools and being able to try different things that I haven't tried before has been really fun and quite interesting. I think it was a great event, and I would definitely come back.
Yeah, I enjoyed it greatly. You know, it's quite laid back, which I really like. I've been able to talk to a lot of people, kind of pick their brains on how they got started and kind of what you're doing now, just interviewing people primarily, getting to understand what motivates them.
And how was the weather? All right. Well, I thank you guys for your question, for answering the questions. Where could people find out more about you guys and follow you? And what are some of the kind of the upcoming projects you have or anything you want to share?
We both have websites, BauerClocks.com and JBauerEngraving.com. And we're both active on Instagram, at BauerClocks and at JBauerEngraving. And you can follow any projects we're working on. We usually follow post progress photos throughout the process and try to keep people up to date on what's going on in our shop.
Anything to add? No,
right.
That's it.
All right, and hopefully you guys got that. There was, I don't know what that was that just went by, but all right. Thank you guys, and have a good rest of the show. All All right. Now, this time I'm still at Handworks 2017, and I'm in the furniture building with, this time I'm speaking with...
Jim Moon.
Okay. If you haven't, if you've seen anything from Handworks 2017, I'm sure it's been that the replica Studley tool chest that he's made in with impeccable quality. So, I couldn't get by without speaking with Jim, and getting a few, answers to the questions that we normally ask, but also, to get his take on this project and what else he's doing and planning on doing. So the first question I want to ask is, how did you get into woodworking?
When I was a medical student and getting married, I wanted a grandfather clock and was unable to purchase one, so decided to make one. I'd done a little bit of woodworking and went to the local library in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, looked through books and put together a design and made one.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the first project.
Is that easy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what's your favorite tool?
Well, in general, for me, a plow plane. That's what I got into collecting. And I enjoyed making those as well. They're more interesting than many of the tools because they were usually made by hand by one individual. They have a lot of personality, various exotic woods and other kinds of things. They were kind of a vanity piece for the craftsman back then.
Yeah.
And so they lent themselves well to that kind of ornamentation.
Okay, that's great. My question. Okay, next question is who has influenced you the most or been a major influence in your woodwork?
You know, when I started, there wasn't Fine Woodworking magazine. There was a few books around. Popular Science was about the only source. But I've always liked period furniture, and there was some books by Gottschall and Lister Margon that had actually drawings of period furniture. So that's kind of what got me motivated to make pieces. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. That's really interesting. How about, what's been a big stumbling block or a major stumbling block you've come across and how could you have avoided it or, you know, how did you overcome it?
I suppose sometimes just getting woods that I really would like to have in order to do a piece was difficult, especially when I started out. I was in an area where there wasn't much of that going on, so it was really...
Is that South Dakota?
Yeah. Okay. There was a lot of good local walnut and things like that, but other types of wood like mahogany and so forth were tough to come by.
Yeah, pretty far from everywhere the mahogany is, yeah. Okay. The final official question here is, how has the internet influenced your work?
Very little.
That's good to know.
I never knew about the Studley Exposition 2 years ago because I was never on the internet. I found out about it by chance when I came back. So I'd rather be in my shop than I'd be in the internet.
Okay. Well, we get a lot more done if we're all in our shops. Okay, so one question I've been adding on that's kind of a two-part question is, what's your jam? So, like, it's a two-part question. One is, what are the kind of music or things you're listening to into your shop, if you do, as well as when you're in the zone, what is the activity you're doing that you feel like this is why I do woodwork?
Usually I have music from the 60s and 70s when I'm in my shop working most of the time.
Do you have a specific favorite? Just
Beatles. Mark Knopfler.
Okay.
Right. With Dire Straits, okay. And all Mark Knopfler stuff after that,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what was the second question?
Like when you're in the zone, what is it like? You feel like this is why I do woodwork.
Probably finishing some elaborate carving.
Okay.
It's hard to get to that point, but once I do, and see the finished product, then that's very gratifying.
That's a really good answer. So now let's talk a little more specific. I see six incredible plow planes sitting up here. So, how long have you been making those, or are those all yours, or what's going on there?
Yeah. Well, with doing period furniture, I started out all with power tools.
Okay.
And then went to a couple local seminars that had to do with tuning up and fixing vintage hand planes and things like that. And really enjoyed that and started buying those and using them. And then from there went on to seeing some of the higher quality antique tools that went for larger sums of money and were very desirable.
And not wanting to just pay those monies?
That's right. And this entity called a Sandusky center wheel plow plane especially was desirable. And I got thinking, I thought I could make one of those. So that's kind of where I really got started into making tools.
Okay.
And then from the plow plane, once I had that mastered, went on to make a variety of other plow planes that had unique mechanisms in them and those kind of things. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's talk the elephant in the room here, and that's the Studley tool chest replica that you've made. How'd you get started on this project, or, you know, just tell us a little bit about how this all came about.
Well, you see this yellow faded poster on the table here that's been there for almost 30 years.
That's the fine woodworking poster that's iconic.
And at that time, you only had a view of what was on the exterior of the cabinet and some peeks through the little windows at what might be in the layers below, but no knowledge of that. And then when I went to a meeting for Society of American Period Furniture Makers in Knoxville in 2016, Don Williams was there with his book Virtuoso, which broke the code and had detailed pictures and description of all the tools held within. And as soon as I saw that, it was like, I know I have some of those tools, other ones I know I could make, and that's the project I would love to do. So,
about how many of the tools did you have that fit the mold?
Well, let's see, there's 288 tools altogether in the case. I modified about 67 of those, just like Studley did, which were typically making your own chisel handles or taking a ordinary hickory handle on a Maydol hammer and make that rosewood instead or ebony. And then there was 27 of the tools that had to be made from scratch, just like Studley did, because they were either his unique marking gauges, mallets, or they were specialized tools of the piano trade.
So what did you learn in this process of rebuilding this Studley tool chest? Take away from it.
A lot of it is just the organization. And like Don says in the book, it's kind of like a composition. Each one of these compartments or sections are kind of a individual composition that flows into itself and kind of the interplay between the outlines and images of the tools and the holders and the decorative elements like the mother of pearl and the ivory just come together to make it very pleasing to the eye, yet very complex that you can look at this and not see things and come back and look at it again, and there's more detail there.
Yeah. If someone, you know, is looking at this and just thinks, you know, this is impossible, like, you know, what would you say to them? Is it impossible? Or, I mean, how would you even go about the process of
probably not impossible. Like, you know, a Philadelphia high boy that I've made, people look at the whole thing and they're overwhelmed by it. But you have to look at each one of these elements. You know, you're looking at this whole thing and it's overwhelming. But if you looked at it, you know, could I make that particular little area up there? Well, yeah, anybody that's good at woodworking could do that. So it's just a matter of taking this down to its individual elements. And, you know, then you have to analyze, can you do that? And if you can, then you can make the whole.
Is there one more question would be about the whole event. What do you think about Handworks 2017? You know, what have you taken away from this event?
Well, I think it's wonderful. I mean, you know, in the past events I've went to were people that were marginally interested in tools, and when they were, it was usually things like router jigs and how to take a disc and cut a file in half with it, those kind of things. But you know, the people here are genuinely interested in the whole theme of the show, which is hand tools, and a real appreciation for that.
Okay. Is there any place that you mentioned that you're not on the internet much? So is there any place that we could find out more about you or keep track of what's going on?
No.
Well, there we go. I guess we'll just have to wait till the next big thing drops from Jim Moon.
There so it's will been be a article in Popular Woodworking okay. coming out, I think, in October, that Don Williams came by and saw me and did a little interview, and it's going to have some things about my background and about the Studley Tool Chest.
Okay. Well, we'll look for that for sure. And it was nice talking with you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
So now I'm here back in the Festdale barn with Conrad Sauer. I'm sure you've seen his tools floating around on Instagram or wherever. They're incredible. But I'm going to have an opportunity to talk with him for a few minutes. And so first of all, Conrad, how did you get into woodworking?
Well, I actually got into woodworking because I wanted good furniture and wasn't in a position to buy it, so had to learn how to make it.
All right. Now, about how long ago do you think that was?
25 years.
Okay. All right. And what's your favorite tool? Maybe this is a little softball because, you know, you're a tool maker.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, an actual single tool would be tough to do, but hand planes, chisels, saws. Okay. I mean, yeah, those three, it'd be tough to pick just one.
Okay. Who do you think has influenced your work the most? Or just in a majority way?
My work. So plane making work or just work in general?
Your style, you know, your attitude towards woodworking?
It's maybe an odd answer, but probably my dad and my high school shop teacher, because they basically taught me that try whatever you want, because the worst thing that can happen is you screw it up. And in the grand scheme of things, that's actually not that big of a deal. So getting over that hurdle of trying something that seems impossible, learning how to get over that or push yourself through that is that without having learned how to do that, I wouldn't be doing anything. I wouldn't know how to do anything that I'm doing.
Okay. All right. That's a good answer. The fourth question in the spiel here is, what was your biggest stumbling block, or what's a big stumbling block you've come across and you think you could have avoided it?
Oh, boy. Biggest stumbling block. So the biggest stumbling block that I was able to get over actually was finding wood for plane making. But I was really fortunate that I befriended a retired furniture maker who, for whatever reason, said, start hoarding really good wood now because there is no good wood left on trees. Good wood does not grow on trees anymore. And he said, we're seeing the tail end of it. Had I not taken his advice and started collecting wood 20 years ago, I wouldn't be able to do this. Because you need very specific qualities of wood to make planes.
Okay. All right. And then how would you say the internet has influenced your work?
Oh, man. It's been incredible. Without the ability to communicate the way that it's allowed me to communicate, you know, I my business would have grown much more slowly. I wouldn't have been able to have the reach that it's had. And, within the last year and a half, you know, something like Instagram has been an unbelievable, you know, connective tool for people. I mean, I can't believe there's probably two dozen people here that I've met through Instagram. This is the first time I've met them in person.
Right.
And it's been amazing to be able to do that. So yeah, it's been an incredibly powerful tool, both from a business perspective and also from a woodworking community perspective. It's been incredible for bringing people together.
All right. Another question I've been adding on to everybody's questions is, it's a two-part question. It's what's your jam? So when you're in the shop, what's the music that's playing or podcast you're listening to or whatever, as well as what's the thing that when you're in your shop, whether it's a style or whether it's a process or something, when you're in that moment and you just think, this is my jam. This is what it's about.
So they're diametrically opposite. I either listen to CBC, which is like NPR in the States, or I listen to some very, very angry, heavy, thrashy music. And what I keep telling, you know, my wife is, you know, it's angry, so I don't have to be. Favorite band would be Tool, which is sort of ironic, but it really is. I never get tired of listening to them. And that, you know, Jill will often say, she can see me through the window and I'm just kind of working and, you know, my head's just kind of bobbing along. She knows I'm in that spot. And she knows that if she wants me to come in for dinner, that she's going to have to call because I'm in that groove and you can't get me out of it. So, yeah,
and the style, or when you're in that, what's your signature style, or your thing that you're jamming with?
You mean music-wise, I'm doing? Shaping wood.
Okay.
Yeah, that is the happy place for plane making, and actually for furniture making, is doing something with curves and making smooth curves and good transitions and just coming up with form. That's not, you know, it's. There's kind of a logic to it in that it's, you know, you can kind of see how it's structured, but it's also very organic and it flows. And, it, you know, one thing goes into another thing and it just seems to line up in a way that's really fluid. So that's been, for me, what I've tried to do in my own planes in the last probably seven years or so is, you know, depart from more classic forms and do my own work.
Yeah, definitely. The K-Series I've seen is just... Yeah, you know, it's just phenomenal and a departure, but it's like it's definitely obviously a nod to the tradition, but racy and just goes great lines.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that was the goal, was to, you know, do some, again, like you said, it's familiar, but it's also, you know, the goal was to make it a more contemporary, you know, stylistically, and also ergonomics too. You know, a lot of the original ones are really, really heavy, and a lot of people think that a heavy plane is better, and they want, oh, you know, they pick them up and they say, oh, these are so great, they're so nice and heavy. Well, actually, if a heavy plane was what we all needed, the wooden planes that are out there would be awful, and they're not. They're awesome. It has to do with how solid they feel and how well they're constructed, not from the standpoint is something tightened down, but just the mechanics of it. Like a wooden plane is a block of wood with a blade and a wedge. There's nothing else. There's nothing that can move in there. And so for me, the goal is peeling out as much weight as I can, because weight just makes you fatigued. But it needs to be solid. And so that's been a really big big change for me, is to try and get rid of weight, but also make things, as ergonomic as I can. And just because curves look nicer, but they also feel nicer. Our bodies are curves. Our hands are curves. We are all curves. That they just feel better.
Yeah.
So that for me, that's been a really big part of it, is trying to introduce that into it all.
Okay. All right. Another question I'd have is, of course, you're known for your planes, but I know you're also interested in woodworking. So what are some of the projects you're doing right now, or what do you think is on the horizon, whether it be plane making, or I know you do home stuff.
Yeah.
I've seen you working on a Volvo.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I was just talking with somebody about this a couple hours ago, and they said, this is what you're doing right now, but, I know that you paint, you sculpt, you're working on a car, you've made some guitars, you make furniture. This is really what I'm doing now. And this, for the last 16 years, 17 years has been the way that I can express what it is I'm interested in expressing. But it will evolve into something else. I'm not really sure what it'll be. Working on the car is a totally new thing for me, but it's, I can see myself getting pulled into an English wheel or just doing that kind of shaping. It really intrigues me. It's taking something flat and, making a really beautiful, graceful, long curve, like on a car. I mean, there's some, you look at an old 911 or even a new, well, not the new ones, but an old 911 or, the Volvo that we're restoring. They are just beautiful looking cars. They flow, they're graceful curves. They're beautiful. So, whatever I end up doing, there will be a component of that in it. Otherwise, I just won't. It won't be interesting. So,
all right. Well, that's all the questions I have. Can you let everybody know, where's the best place to find you, whether it be Instagram or your website or whatever?
Yeah, probably Instagram. Actually, I've really migrated over to Instagram. Conrad or Sauren Steiner is the what I go by. There's a blog that's. Actually quite old now. It's like 2007, I think I started it. And there's a lot of information in there. So if anybody is interested in making planes, there's a lot of stuff to weed through. But, I've heard from a lot of people that they pour through it, and there's a lot of really good stuff. So
yeah, I can confirm that. I mean, I know I've read, and not just the plane making, but I think also you help to train the eye in a lot of the things I've read. Mm-hmm. And it's really helped me to kind of like, develop my design sense toward the flowing line and whatnot.
Either way, and or just fire off an email.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for talking. I'll talk to you all later.
All right. I'll give you a few lead-in softballs to start with.
There you go.
All right.
Now I'm in the furniture shop at Anamana at the Handworks 2017 still, and I am now speaking with Mike.
Mike Seamson.
All right. And Mike. So you've got quite an area here, three or four benches. What are you guys doing in here?
Well, today we're not doing a whole lot because we ran out of materials. Yesterday we were making a twin screw vise, a Moxon vise, as a mini course. So people were coming in and building the vise, drilling the holes and tapping the threads and running the screw box and making a vise.
All right, so that sounds like a good opportunity. So I'm going to run you through the five questions that the Modern Woodworker Association always asks everybody that's on their show. So the first one there is, how did you get into woodworking?
I have been woodworking all my life, ever since I was a little kid. I mean, I just have always liked making stuff out of wood, and so I can't even tell you when I started, hardly, because we always had tools around that we could use and make stuff, and just always been doing it.
Okay, all right. So the second question is, what's your favorite tool? And that doesn't have to be forever. It's just whatever you're currently using, whether that's your favorite, whatever.
That's a good question. I don't know that it's probably the one I'm using at the time, and sharp tools are always a favorite. But your basic hand tools, I like chisels, planes, hand saws. I enjoy using them. I enjoy fixing them up. And so I don't know that I have a specific favorite.
Is your school entirely hand tools, or is it a mix, or what?
I do mostly hand tools, but I mean, I have a blended shop, so I will use power planers and that to take the bulk of the material away, and that I prep material for students and that so they can save some of that. But we always go over how to use the hand tools completely to do a project. But we, in order to move the classes along, if you did just hand tools, it would take too long.
Yeah, that's it's probably common for most of the listeners here. So how about the third question here? Who has influenced you the most when it comes to woodworking? Or
That's a good question, too. I mean, I would say 18th century cabinet makers. I did restoration furniture repair for several years when I lived in Pennsylvania. And I think seeing the tool marks and studying what was done ahead of you and how to do the work the same way they did. They were, you know, don't know who they were, but those were some pretty darn good teachers.
That's a good answer. How about this one now? What's been your biggest stumbling block along the way and could have been avoided?
Not having any money. And it would have been avoided by having some money, but I don't know where that comes from. But I think that's, you're always getting your own way. You know, I think if I could go back, I'd have probably taken a couple more classes. I don't know that I would ever gone to a 2-year school or anything. But some of that, getting the information, it was hard. Now you can get everything you want on the internet and more. So I think there's some good in that. But mostly, not having any money.
All right. So having a wealthy benefactor would have been
a good thing. Yeah. All right. Or marrying rich.
Yeah. All right, so the last question here that's on the official here is, how has the internet influenced your work?
Probably I do less of it because I have a computer, and it takes too much time away from your work. But I don't know that the internet has influenced my work all that much. I think it's a really good outreach. It's with the school and that's kind of the only place I really have information out there for people to find classes. I have created a little bit of content to put like YouTube and that, but I don't think it's really affected me a lot. It is useful to go and see how other people are working. It's nice to see what kind of classes other students or schools are putting out, but I don't know that it's influenced my work much one way or another, really.
Okay, that's a good answer. Then the question I've been adding on, because it's just kind of my way to add a little something to the podcast, is asking everyone what's their jam, which is a two-part question, I guess. What's the music that's playing in their workshop or whenever, or the podcast they're listening to or whatever. And then the second part is like what's the style or the type of woodwork that when you're in that moment you feel like this is what I enjoy.
Well, I like 18th century reproductions. I like making that type of furniture, real fairly high-end stuff. So I would say that's probably...
Is there a specific maker that you're thinking of?
No, not really. I do like... I worked in Pennsylvania, and I do like the stuff that came out of Philadelphia and regions around there. But nothing totally specific. You get a Jones to make something, and you kind of look at all different kinds of examples until you find something that you kind of want to head towards. And you don't always make a reproduction, but you'll build in the manner that they built in, you know. As far as music, I tend to listen to blues mostly, but it mixes up a lot. And I don't usually listen to the radio when I work. I don't have any music on. I just listen to the voices in my head and do what they tell me, and that's about it. Because I find if I've got music on or radio, I start listening to it and not working. And I've never needed it, so I don't usually listen to music when I'm working.
All right. Well, thanks, Mike, for taking a few minutes. Can you tell everybody how we can get in contact with you or where we can follow you on social media or whatever?
Well, I'm Mike Simpson, Mike Simpson School of Woodworking. I have a Facebook account, which is, I think, Mike Simpson School of Woodworking. And I also have an Instagram account, which I also believe is just Mike Simpson. And as far as I have a website, which is schoolofwood.com. You can go there and see what my classes are, and that's about it, I think.
All right. Well, thank you. I'm back. This time I'm recording. And I'm out in the Greenwood barn with
Roald Renmalmo.
Okay. All right. And Roald is with
Norsk Skottbank Union, Norse Skottbench Union.
And probably for like a lot of people, you may have know Roald from the Instagram account Handwerker. Is that probably the best way to say that? That's how I found him. But today, him and a whole group here are here, and they brought along or made a bench when they came here. And so hopefully he's going to get a chance to talk about that, but also answer the five questions from the Modern Woodworkers Association. So the first question I'm going to ask is, how did you get into woodworking?
When I grew up as a little boy, I was joining my grandfather in his woodworking workshop. Okay. So, yeah, from I was about 4 or 5 years old.
Okay. Okay. So then the second question that is always in the list is, what's your favorite tool? Whether that's a tool you brought with you, a tool you work on, whatever, you know, whether it's for the moment or of all time, whatever.
Yeah. I think the favorite tool is my ox hovel. It's a two-man handled plane.
Okay. So for those of you maybe not familiar, you should go check out his stuff. But it looks, to my eye, it looks like an 18th century English plane with two kind of crossbars that allow you to get someone on both end of it, as well as to get two hands in front of and behind the iron. So the next question I'm going to ask is, who has influenced you the most in your woodworking?
I think that would be the woodworker Konrad Stenvoll in my area in northern Norway. Okay. He was born in 1908, and I was lucky to know him for more than 20 years.
Okay. Yeah. How did he help
him? He has had very much knowledge after his great-grandfather, who was born in the early 1800s, and he taught me all these woodworking techniques and how to make tools and everything. So it's very nice.
Okay, very good. The next question is, what has been your biggest stumbling block, and do you think you could have avoided it?
I don't
obstacle
know.
That was in your way, and then you think you could have. How did you get around it?
You have to make a living from what people want to buy. So I have tried some different coopering and different kind of work that there isn't a market in Norway. So it's fun, but you can't live all of it. Yeah.
Okay. And then the last question is, how has the internet influenced your work?
Yeah, I think I have gotten to know a lot of people, and a lot of them are here in Amana at the Handworks, and also it's easier to keep in touch with my colleagues in all places around in Norway. So,
okay, all right, and one last question. I probably have a couple more questions, but one last question I've been asking everybody may not translate real well, but it's what's your jam? So, what is the music that or the sounds that you're listening to? I see a lot of you guys working in the forest, dropping trees and things like that. Is there songs, music that goes along with that? And then also, you know, when you're in the moment, what is the activity or process that is like defines when you feel like you're really capturing the spirit of what you're trying to do?
That's a hard question. I like many different aspects of woodworking. So I very much like to cut my own trees, pick them in the forest, and can be able to follow the same trees to a finished project. I think that's very satisfactory.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. If you would, just a moment, could you describe kind of the bench that you guys brought over, or didn't bring over, but that's where I've seen it the most, but as well as, you know, kind of what have you learned or enjoyed at Handworks here?
Yeah, so many things we have picked up at the Handworks. The bench we are using here is a new bench we have made here in USA. But it was very nice to see the old original bench here in Amana that was used by carpenters before us. And I think it's I've noticed that the old bench has been standing in the barn with thousands of people passing, and no one seems to notice it. And I think most people thought it was a big saw filing clamp or something. Yeah. But we are hoping when we are doing this demonstration, more people would find these benches, because you won't see it if you don't know what it is. So when we started in Norway, we knew about one bench, and now we know about hundreds, and a lot of people know about them. So you have to start to look.
All right. So that's the end of my questions. But before I go, I'd like, if you could, just give us a little, you know, where can people follow you? Where can we find you on Instagram or your blogs? I know you do that. So just let us know what we're doing and what anything you guys have in the works.
Yeah, for this workbench, we have a blog. It's scottbenk.com, scottbenk.com. And you can follow us, and we write in both Norwegian and English. Most Norwegian, but also some English. And you can you can search the blog for English posts, and you can also tip us about if you discover a bench or something. And a lot of us also are on Instagram, and if you tap in Scott Benk as a tag, you will find a lot of interesting.
All right. Yeah, I know. I certainly enjoy your blogs. Even if I can't read them, I certainly enjoy the pictures. It's very informative to see different ways of working, and just, you know, it's just mind blowing that the different cultures that are all doing similar things in different ways, and it really helps to open our eyes to, you know, different ways to solve problems and whatnot. So I thank you for taking a few minutes with me, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the show. All right, I'm back in the blacksmith barn, I guess. Is that where we're at? at Handwork still. And I'm now talking with...
Seth Gould.
All right, Seth Gould. If you haven't found him on Instagram, go stop this podcast and go there immediately and look at his metalwork. It's incredible. So I'm going to alter this and take some exceptions to the woodworking part, because his metalwork is quite impressive. So how did you get into woodworking and metalworking and crafting in general?
Sure. I went to college thinking I was going to be a graphic designer, illustrator. And my freshman year of college took a beginning metalsmithing class, and that was jewelry making and fine metal work, and started there. And from there, started to learn about forging, got into that a little bit, more tool making. And then I was off and running.
All right. That's a good answer. So the next question, I'm going to give you a twofer here. What's your favorite tool, both the tool to use as well as tool to make? Because you got some pretty fine tools here.
Oh, I don't think I have a favorite tool to make, because they all have their own challenges and uniqueness. And yeah, there's something new with everything. Any tool that needs to be forged and then filed and refined, and combining wood handles, that's also, you know, a joy. So whether that's a, you know, hammer, chisel, or anything else, or a jeweler's saw. And one of my favorite, I guess, I don't know, make a lot of hammers. I really like hammers.
Yeah, they're quite neat. I really like the, I don't see any of them on the table, but the black and finish, it seems like that's passed. I know Rainey Nelson from Dead Tool Works, he touted it up. I think he got it from you. And then I've since, I don't know, that's something it's really exciting. I guess you burn stuff, it's right? That's pretty cool. All right. So who has influenced you the most?
I think if there's a main individual, it's the guy who's standing next to us right now, which is Peter Ross at the booth next to us. I worked with Peter for over the years on several occasions, got to do essentially a internship with him for a couple months, and working with him was one of the most influential things. Took the way I look at metal and the way I work with metal, forging and filing in particular, to a whole new level that I wouldn't have gotten there otherwise.
All right. How about a big stumbling block or an obstacle that you either had to press through or that you could have avoided some way?
In my career in general, or for...
whatever, something that stopped you from doing what you really
wanted to do. Well, I don't know. I guess maybe a great answer to that, or a good answer, I can't say it's a great answer, is when... opened my first shop, I was doing mostly commission work, and that could be frustrating at times, working within people's parameters. And right now I'm doing a residency at the Penland School of Crafts, which is allowing me to not doing so much commission work, but starting a more standard line of tools and then getting to work on the lock work and Japanese metal work that I'm really interested in pursuing and pushing. And so that was kind of a stumbling point, or just a pressure point in terms of restriction and doing what I'm most passionate for.
All right, so the last official question here is, how has the internet influenced your work?
Well, it's just an incredible resource in terms of learning and seeing other people's work, seeing, you know, internationally work out there and finding other people who are doing similar things. But also learning, you know, if you know the right places to look, you can learn an enormous amount on the internet.
Okay, good answer. Another question I've been asking everyone is, it's a two-part question, and it's, what's your jam? So, when you're in the shop, what are the tunes that you're listening to? But then also, secondarily, what is it that when you're in the groove and you're like, this is what it's all about? You know, whether it's a process, whether it's a specific style you like, whatever. You know, what defines Seth?
I think that could be one of two things. Some days it's the production work, if I'm just can zone out and be on the power hammer or be filing and refining, you know, a batch of products, then that's, you know, I can just close off my mind and do that and enjoy whatever music I'm listening to, or podcasts or whatever. Or if I get to, I'm working on more creative work, it's just getting to spend a relaxed day problem solving and just totally pouring myself into, you know, every intricacy of every screw that I'm making, you know, that sort of thing. So
that's really cool. One other question would be, what's been your take, or what's your opinion of Handworks? What have you taken away as both as a vendor, and maybe if you've been able to get out and see the other things?
Unfortunately, I haven't been able to get out nearly as much as I'd like to. I did get to run up to the barn and see some people, and there's just a ton of incredible work here. And I think what Jamil and Father John are putting on, just the whole feeling of it. The fact that it's a free event, the fact that it's bringing like-minded people together to focus on handcraft, it's just a really important thing that I'm so glad exists. Yeah.
All right. And just as a final question, or a little free time here, where can we find out more about your work? Where can people follow you, as well as anything else you just think we all need to know?
Sure, yeah. My website, sethgould.com. I'm on Instagram at sethgould. I'm not very good about my blogging, but I do put up things there every once in a while. So,
all right. Well, thank you for your time. I hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you very much.
I'm now standing with Steve Voigt of Voigt Planes, and we're going to ask the five questions, and he's going to sharpen a plane blade to razor sharp here in front of me. So to first start out, Steve, how did you get into woodworking?
I was a broke grad student. I had some tool skills. I was working in a machine shop on campus, but I hadn't really woodworked. But, you know, I didn't really have any furniture as a broke grad student, and so I figured I could make some, and that's how I got into woodworking.
I think that's a common path for a lot of us. So the second question is, what's your favorite tool?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. I kind of love all my children equally, but I really like a jack plane because it's capable of just really aggressive material removal.
Okay. Can you describe what sort of planes you work with here? What are your planes?
These are traditional British American double iron planes, which means they have a chip breaker. Just like a Stanley plane, but they're wood-bodied. They have no adjusters, so they're hammer-adjusted. To me, the fact that the planes have no moving parts is a feature and not a bug.
All right, absolutely. The third question here along this line is, who has influenced you the most?
That's a really tough question. So I would say Peter Galbert has been a big influence on me. There was a quote on his blog that is almost my mission statement. He said that it was never his goal to be a chair maker. It was his goal to work in a quiet, dustless shop making beautiful, functional things. And so chairs turned out to be the vehicle for the way he wanted to work, rather than having building chairs being the goal. It was a means to an end. And And I feel the same way. I mean, he's passionate about chairs and I'm passionate about planes, but it's more about, it's a means to an end, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. That's a good answer. I apologize for some banging on going on. I don't know if they're setting teeth or what they're doing over there at the Bad X Saw.
Yeah,
it's pretty interesting. Okay, so the next question is, what was your biggest stumbling block along the way, and do you think it could have been avoided?
I don't know if I can answer what my biggest stumbling block was, but I'll answer that. I was a power tool woodworker for a long time and doing it semi-professionally. And I really sort of got disenchanted with, you know, wearing a dust mask and all sorts of protection and sawing up plywood boxes all day long. And that kind of sapped my desire to be a woodworker. But fortunately, I sort of found my way back to hand tool woodworking and that reinvigorated it. So I would say getting sucked down the power tool rabbit hole was a real setback for me.
So do you use, I'm just curious, do you use power tools in your...
Definitely use power tools. You know, I'm not a Luddite, but power tools... So when I was saying that quote from Peter Galbert before, what he does and what I do, what they have in common is that you really, you can't produce or it's inefficient to produce most of the surfaces by machine, right? So a plane has a lot of sharp inside corners, which rotating round tools don't do very well, right? So, a table saw, a band saw, a drill press, all those things are good for sort of roughing out, but virtually every surface has to be finished by hand on these. So,
okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. The Modern Woodworkers Association is pretty much a, you know, amalgam of all types of people. So it's like, it's not a big deal one way or the other. How about the last question there? How has the internet influenced your work?
You know, the internet has been a big influence on my work because you're working in a much more isolated way without it. You know, if I can get philosophical on you for a second, if you look at sort of the great periods in culture, you know, like Vienna in the 19 teens, for example, you have this sort of hothouse environment of people influencing each other. And I think that's really not possible today in a single place, but it is possible in a far-flung way. You know, you sort of create a virtual Vienna or a virtual Paris, fin de siècle Paris. When I first started doing this, nobody was making traditional double iron planes. But there were a few people out there, on woodworking forums and that sort of thing. I feel like I collaborated with a few other people to figure out how it was done and how to do it today. And I don't think I could have done that without the internet. So
that's great. So, those are the last five of the official questions. A question I've been asking to add my little flair to this podcast is what's your jam? And this is a two part question. So like when you're in the shop working, you know, what's the music you're playing, but also like, when you're in the groove, like when you're doing something, whether it's a style of furniture or a particular tool, whatever it is that you're when you're in that moment and you think this is where it's at, this is what I'm about, that those two parts.
What you mean literally, like what music do I listen to? I listen to NPR a lot. I listen to all sorts of music. I listen to classical music. I listen to rock sometimes, whatever. As far as the second part of your question goes, I feel like there is no one process. As I've said to my wife a couple times, making planes is the only thing I do where I brew a cup of tea and go back to work waiting for my tea to steep. And then I realize 45 minutes later that I forgot my tea and it's stone cold. It's the only thing that I do that I completely lose myself and forget, you know. Thank God I don't leave the stove on when I work, because I'd probably forget that too. It is, you know, many steps in this process become so absorbing that I just forget everything else. And that's a really cool thing.
And plane making it is. All right. That sounds great. Well, so Steve, it's been really nice talking with you. Before I go, can I let you kind of, you know, plug your website or whatever? Just where can we find you, follow you, where that sort of thing on social media?
Just Google Voigt Planes or go to V-O-I-G-T, no H. You know, easy to find on the internet. Voigtplanes.com is the website. The Black Dogs Wood Shop is the blog, and that's linked through my website. And actually, Instagram is probably the best place to find me because I'm posting there pretty much every day, and that's just Voigt Planes.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.